Well, wonderful to have you here this morning, and bright and sunny, but what do they call that? A false sun, because it's sunny, but the temperature certainly doesn't show that, right? It's cold, but this is February, so it's great to have you here. Yes, I don't know if you know Winnie the Pooh, and it's not really "oh brother," he says "oh bother." And so that there, so, you know, when things happen, and of course he gets into sticky situations because he likes what? Honey. So honey's kind of sticky if you've been around it and stuff of that. So, you know, that's what we're looking at here, and sticky situations going on with between Saul and Jonathan and actually Saul and the Lord. So we're going to be looking at that. Now, one thing about Winnie, you know, he gets away with a lot of things because he's so lovable. And cuddly, right? He's so lovable and cuddly. He has such a wonderful, simple life perspective, too, you know, and he has these wonderful quotes. I had a few quotes here to show you here, like if I can turn my thing on. There we are. First one, people say nothing is impossible, but I do nothing every day. So try to put that together in your mind, okay? All right, that's pretty good. I like that one. I agree with that. All right, and how about this one? Sometimes the smallest things take up the most room in your heart. Isn't that right? Somebody says something to you, you know, everything's going well, and somebody just says one little thing that's a little negative, and what are you hanging on? All day, all week, all month, whatever. That one little thing takes over your heart, yeah. So I can see that. And how about this one? A day without a friend is like a pot without a single drop of honey left inside. So you can see where his heart is, right? So it's wonderful, wonderful, wonderful quotes. And too bad Saul is not so lovable and cuddly. All right, as we see, Saul has some issues going on with him. His relationship with the Lord is strained, to say the least. You can say he started off well, for sure, but life happens and we get back into kind of old habits and old way of thinking things if we don't go forward in our walk with the Lord. And so with this, he has what we would say a superficial relationship with the Lord. And with that, it shows it more and more. As we left off, the Philistine army was in great panic. The Lord sent that panic. He used a couple guys, Jonathan and his armor bearer, to go and face them. And he just used two guys. And they're just proven once again that, you know, whether by many or by few, God saves. He's all powerful. He can do what he says. So he can save by many or few. So that's what their lives are proven. And that's what God is doing right in front of them. But the problem is Saul's kind of on the opposite spectrum of all this walk with the Lord by faith. He's more hesitant. He's relying upon himself and his own understanding. Remember in Proverbs 3, 5, and 6, how critical, and that's really a very important passage for us to remember in our own lives about trusting the Lord with all our hearts and leaning not on our own understanding. Well, that's what he's doing. He's leaning on his own understanding, and his trust in the Lord is very small, right? It's kind of up and down a lot. So that's where he's at right now. And so he's moving ahead, though. He was going to seek God's blessing, but then he said, nope, stop, we got to get into this battle because we're losing time. These guys are killing one another. We got to get in there and, you know, just wipe them all out. And so he went ahead without any blessing or any guidance from the Lord. And or even as the Lord has already gone before Jonathan, an armor bearer, without the Lord going before him. So that's a hard place to be in. And so it says there at the end of that, on verse 23, it says, so on that day, the Lord saved Israel. It wasn't Jonathan, it wasn't his armor bearer, certainly wasn't Saul or his army. It's the Lord working his powerful ways. The sticky thing is, this is a sticky point with Saul. See, because he, more and more, his focus is not on the Lord. His focus is coming right back down and upon himself. And this is going to exasperate these situations to a situation where they could really plunder the enemy, destroy their enemy, and yet they are not able to do that. So we look at this passage today and just some things to think about. You know, how even in our own lives, so we, you know, remember the things are written in the Bible, even if it's way 3,000 years ago, it still has impact. It's things to teach us today. These are examples for us to learn in the Word and the endurance and the patience of it, of what we need to do in our walk with Christ. And so things to think about when we are living our lives like a Saul, our witness, our way of life really impacts those around us. It impacts your family, impacts your community, friends, all that impacts you. So those things we have to look about, you know, how it impacted him, how, you know, what, you know, all those the sticky situations we get into, mainly because of our pride. And it really just comes back down to that single word, pride. And that's what happened to Adam and Eve, and it still happens, and we deal with it today, the pride in our lives that causes us to become disobedient and ineffective in our lives, unproductive. As I know a lot of us like to be productive, well, we get in that. And also, when we get into that state of mind, our enemies escape. They're able to run away and what? Come back and fight another day. And that's not a good thing. So we'll be looking at those things today. Let's pray before we continue on. Lord God, yes, we ask that your Spirit will move in such a way that will open our hearts and teach us what you have us to learn today, Lord, through your word and through this passage, Lord, about what's happening here in the life of Saul, involving his army, involving his son, and involving you, and even the enemy. Pray, Lord, that you'll just speak to us and guide us through this, Lord, that you'll give me the words, Lord, that you will receive all the glory and praise, that this word of yours will come alive in each one of us, for not just this time, but also for that we can take it with us, Lord, and help us in our daily walk with you to be a closer walk. So we give you the glory and praise for this time in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. So a sticky oath, that's what he did, because when he said he gave this oath, it was a rash oath. It was a oath, as we look at it a little bit more, is very prideful, very self-focused oath. He says this there in verse 24. He says, "Cursed be anyone who eats food before evening comes." Okay? And then before I have avenged myself and, on my enemies, sorry about that, on my enemies. And then Israel, the Israelites, it says here, they were distressed. They were in distress that day. It should have been, you know, a day of, you know, going forward and courage and strength and quickness and speed, like a George S. Patton Jr., with his third army going through it to fight the enemy, to destroy the enemy. But it's not happening, because now this oath that became a curse on his own army impedes them and becomes a sticky thing. Have you ever gone through mud? Some deep, sticky mud I have. Jeff is looking at me, yeah. And trying to run through that, sorry, your shoes start coming off. Then you're running with your socks, and before long, you're running barefooted. So this is what's happening to them. This sticky situation, this oath really slowed them down. And it was too bad. And you look at this. Look at his oath that he had as a curse here. It says, before I have avenged myself on my enemies. Well, whoa, whoa, whoa. He should be saying, before I have avenged the Lord's enemies. Nice. He already stole the credit from his son Jonathan before, right? When he attacked that outpost the chapter or so before, and he just grabbed the credit. Well, you know, Jonathan stirs up things, and God is going before him and doing mighty things, and now he's going, me. You know, and so he revved up, now me, it's my enemies, and I'm going to avenge myself, and it's all personal. That's where he's at. See, he could have been coming to the Lord and just giving it to him and say, for your glory, Lord, we go forth. We go forth to serve you and to fight for you. And it becomes, and the Lord would remind him, you know, of things such as, you know, for us today, you know, when we're living and walking our day to day, you know, that one passage there in Philippians 4:13 says, you know, you can do all things through Christ who strengthens you. You know, that is so important to remember. You know, there's a lot of hurdles in our lives. We get a little slowed down by the stickiness of our lives. But when we focus back on Christ, then we can start getting ourselves through that mud, that he will give us the strength for that. And also, the Spirit spoke to Zechariah, and he says, not by might nor by power, but by my Spirit, says the Lord. So all those things kind of come to mind, you know. Get your focus off yourself and get it back where it needs to be, where the true victory comes from, the one who can truly help us, the one who can defeat all of our enemies. In fact, as we'll see in a little while, he already did that. So we praise him for that, for his goodness and grace and his mercies that abound to us day after day, moment to moment. He is good, and his love endures forever. So what do we do with this? The sticky oath is there, and we kind of go back to this one thing about, you know, how do we get out of this? Well, one thing we can learn here is about avoiding these sticky oaths. It's just not doing it, first of all. There's no reason for a sticky oath. Now, if he came before the Lord and said, hey, Lord, we're giving this time to you, and if the Lord said, go without any food until evening, and I will be your strength, then that's giving the glory to who? To God. Because as they go without food and they go and annihilate the enemy, well, they're going, hey, we didn't have any food, but look, we're still strong and we're running like, you know, these quick cheetahs and stuff like that, and strong like big grizzly bears and things like that, and wiping out the enemy. You know, but we did it without any food. You know, and then fine, okay, then that's to the glory of God. But he didn't seek that, and he certainly didn't get it from the Lord. It came from his heart, from his pride, and now he's in trouble. And the only way we can solve that, get out of those sticky oaths, is this. The Lord is near to all who call on him, to all who call on him in truth. We need to call upon him and with a true heart, you know, because you can't manipulate God. He can't throw things and trick them into things here. He already knows what's going on in your heart. And he can see things very plainly. And so these are things that remind us. And so Saul needs that as well. Whether he learns it or not, don't know. I guess we'll find out as time goes on. So as Winnie the Pooh would say, oh, bother. You know, Saul should be saying that right now. Oh, bother. Because there's a lot of bad things. See, so the army, it says there in 25, you know, they're entering the forest. There's honey on the ground. Wow, it's kind of like chocolate for me. You know, there's chocolate this and chocolate that. And, you know, going through, that looks good. It'd be hard not to dip your spear into that and take a little bit in it, you know, like just what happened here is oozing and all over the place. And then Jonathan decides he didn't hear it. He didn't hear about the oath. So he takes a spear, gets a little bit, and he's reinvigorated. He's going, yeah, hey, come on, guys. Why aren't you eating the honey? And they go, oh, there's your dad gave us a sticky oath. And Jonathan's going, oh man. Jonathan says there in 29, my father has made trouble for the country. He did. See how my eyes brighten? How much better it would have been if the men had eaten today some of the plunder they took from their enemies. Would not the slaughter of the Philistines have been even greater? See, he knew. He knew. So now it becomes a sticky relationship. Because here's Saul and here's Jonathan. Jonathan is just flying, you know. He's walking by faith. He's going, God, you know, perhaps you'll go before us, you know, that type of attitude. You know, I am submissive to you. I'm following you. If you will give us that victory, you go before us and we'll follow you. And God's going, yeah, I'll take you. I'll work this wonder. You know, I'll work through you. I can work through one or two. I don't even need you, but I'll use you. So that's what he did. And for, you know, he went out in secrecy. Did you notice that? When he went out to fight these Philistines, he went out in secrecy because he knew that his father was a control freak. Okay. He's looking for his own glory. He's, you know, when you know that and you see it and it's developing before, he probably knew before he even became king, what kind of a guy he was. So for that, so he knew this. So he's going, well, if I tell him, he's just going to shut me down. Then I would have to disobey him, and he wouldn't do that. So he went out on his own in secrecy, following the Lord. And that strains the relationship, of course, because Saul's going, hey, I want the glory, and you're getting it. Now, I don't know about you fathers here, but when your son or daughter is just flourishing, you know, they're doing wonderful things. You know, do you sit there and shut them down? And just say, hey, no, stop. Come here. I want to be the one. You know, there are some people that do that, actually. You know, Saul's been, he's doing that. He should be encouraging. He should be teaching him more and more of these leadership skills. So in the future, he will be the king. With these wonderful skills, empowered by the Holy Spirit. But no, he's exactly the opposite. He's looking like he's out to kill him. Really? His whole focus is really upon himself, and he's certainly not behind his son and not cheering him on. He's not bringing him up to be the next leader at all. He's just going forth with his own focus. And actually, this own self-seeking, self-glorifying edict that he did is putting his son right there at the precipice of being killed, being executed because of that oath. Winnie the Pooh, say what? Oh, bother. Oh, bother, what a sticky situation you got me into. And then, you know, so here we go. And then you keep on going, and then they're going through there. And another thing that's happening here is just the soldiers are fighting, and then they're getting hungry there. Okay. And lots of things are going on there. It sounds there in verse 32, it says that the soldiers actually, when evening came, because he gave this the oath, it says, until evening. Well, evening came. And then 32 says, they pounced on the plunder and taking sheep, cattle, and calves, they butchered them on the ground and ate them together with the blood. See, then someone said to Saul, look, the men are sinning against the Lord by eating meat that has blood in it, and we know that in Deuteronomy they have that. I'm not Deuteronomy, Leviticus also speaks to that as well. Leviticus, I think, is chapter 17, 10, 11, if you want to look at that yourself. You know, just how that is, says you're not supposed to eat the blood with that meat. You're supposed to drain it out because the blood is a symbol of life, and that blood is being used for atoning for sin. So it was sacred. So they were doing this because they were so hungry. I don't know about you, if you've ever been that hungry before, to where you're going, I'm not even cook this. I'm just putting it in my mouth. You know, you got this fish dangling there. You go, oh, I'll strip off a piece of meat. Ooh, some deer meat, you know, just get the liver out like that. And those stories, what is that? Dancing with the Wolves, you know, that guy grabs that heart, and what was it, liver or the heart? And he just went, yummy. Marilyn, you want a piece? I know. Oh, look at that. She's hungry. All right. There you go. She's ready. She's ready for it. See, so they're going wild and they're breaking faith. And I think Saul was growing a little conscious. So they had a stone rolled over and they're, sacrificing these animals the correct way, draining out the blood, and then they can eat. And they say here in 35, that's the first altar that he's built for the Lord. So you can see that his heart is certainly not focused on spiritual matters there. And then we go back into Saul was stopped by his own oath. He got stickied. Stickerized? What would you say that? Stickled? That's a good word there. Okay, we'll have to look that up. But so he got that because he's going, hey, Saul says, hey, let's go down and pursue the Philistines by night. Good idea. And plunder them till dawn. So he wanted to go out in the cover of darkness, just wallop them while they're still, weak and they're fighting one another and all that stuff. And let us not leave one of them alive. Good idea, Saul. Hey, now you got it. You're doing, yeah. He knows some of these things. Reel it in, boy. The priest just shuts it down. He says, let us inquire of God here. And he reminds him that this battle doesn't belong to him, but to the Lord. And so he had it. And then they were finding out that there's an issue. Somebody sinned, right? Somebody broke his oath. And they found out that his son, as Urim and Thummim were used, found out that it was Jonathan. Ooh. And now you get into a very sticky situation here. Now your son is on the line here. And I really believe that God just said, stop this silliness, Saul. Because here he is. Saul said, may God deal with me, be it ever so severely, if you do not die, Jonathan. And that's verse 44. He was going to kill his son. You know, good things happen. It's kind of like Jesus when he was healing on the Sabbath, or, and the Pharisees was going, they're always looking at, it's the Sabbath, and they're just cranking on him, criticizing him, all that stuff, right? And Jesus said, oh, I'm doing this healing. I'm being merciful. I'm showing mercy to these people, compassion on them, healing them. And they're just saying, well, we're going to kill you. They start making these plots to kill him. Well, here we are. Same type of heart. Certainly not calling upon the Lord. Certainly not by the Lord's guidance. And then, but God's, I believe he put this courage into his men's heart. And the men of these soldiers, they said, but the men said to Saul, there in 45, should Jonathan die? He who has brought about this great deliverance in Israel? Never! As surely as the Lord lives, not a hair of his head will fall to the ground, for he did this with God's help. So the men rescued Jonathan, and he was not put to death. And Saul stopped pursuing the Philistines because now the enemy's getting away. And you know what? Because of all this stuff, they're going to come back and fight another day. As we see, Saul's a great warrior against these many nations. And he also has a family, as we read there. And so he's a human being. Just like you and I, right? Skills, abilities, family, all that stuff. He's a human being. He's not nothing but, he's got flesh and blood just like us. Now, he was appointed and anointed to this position as a king, but now there's a self-fulfilled prophecy going on. Do you know what it is? The people of Israel were saying what to Samuel? They wanted a king like all the other nations around them. Well, now you got it. Because now, even read that last line, it says, whenever Saul saw a mighty or brave man, he took him into his service. Remember, the kings that are not a godly king, they are going to take and take and take and take and take, and they're going to do things like this. They're going to be ruling by pride, seeking their own glory. That is what kings on earth do. Prove me different. Prove me different. See, the arrangement was that he was going to be a God-fearing king who would be in the Word and following what the Lord has and be his instrument that God would use. He should be the one that should be inquiring of God before he even takes a little step. He should have been inquiring of the Lord at that point, even before Jonathan went out. He should have been the one going out and leading the army and saying, God, perhaps you'll go before us. Whether by many or few, you can save. That's all on him. Yeah. So how do we get unstuck? How do we get unstuck? Saul's unstuck. I've been there. I'm a Saul. I know, I got Saul tendencies. I don't know about you. I got Saul tendencies. So how do you get unstuck? Well, remember Simeon in the temple and Jesus' birth, and then at that eighth day, they bring him to the, well, not eighth day, I think it was further than that, but they're going under and doing their presentation of Jesus, you know, for the consecrating him. Because he was the firstborn son of the family. And Simeon sees him, and listen to this, because, you know, God knows we need help. We have messy lives, and we try to live them and do them as best we are, lean on our own understanding as much as we can. We want to take all that credit, but our paths start going like this. Have you ever seen the earthquake seismic graph? Yeah, that's our lives, okay? And Saul's doing that a lot. You know, in California, I felt a lot of this. Okay, it's fun when you feel the earth move beneath your feet, right, Joy? Sometimes it rolls like a wave, and then it comes at you and it just breaks, and then your whole life gets turned over. That's what's happening here. So how do we get out of that? How do we get unstuck? Well, Simeon says it's true. By the power of the Holy Spirit, he says, for my eyes have seen your salvation, which you have prepared in the sight of all nations, a light of revelation to the Gentiles and the glory of your people Israel. See, remember, God keeps all of his promises. See, when he promised Abraham way, way, way back that he's going to use the nation of Israel to bring the good news to all the nations on earth, he was serious. And it's happening, even now. And this glory, this light of revelation to the Gentiles, that's you, that's me. We're Gentiles, did you know that? Gentile. I say that respectfully. But they don't think of it that way as much. And then for the glory of Israel. So first of all, there's salvation, right? For those of us who have not received Christ in our hearts or the Lord and Savior, well, that's where we need to go first. To get unstuck, we need Christ. Because if we try to do it the Saul way, we'll get stuck. And we can't get out of it. There's only one that can set us free and provide us the salvation. And it is a grace salvation, and it is a mystery, that it is a wonderful gift. And did he know that the curse was broken? Remember, this oath really was a curse from Saul. Do you know the curse was broken for us? Right here. Christ redeemed us from the curse of the law. See, the law was there. It was a good thing to teach us and to guide us in our lives, but also showed us what? That we couldn't live it out. That we broke the law. That we are sinful people needing of a perfect Savior. So it became a curse to us because now it's saying, you're not good enough. You're not good enough to get there on your own. No matter who you are or what you've done in your life, how many good things you think you've done, how rich you are, how many Dallas Cowboys Super Bowls you have on your trophy case, doesn't matter. This does. He cursed a lot by becoming a curse for us, for it is written, cursed is everyone who is hung on a pole. And that's what Christ was hung on. It says he redeemed us in order that the blessing given to Abraham might come to the Gentiles. Remember, I was talking about that, the covenant with Abraham way back 3, 4, 5, how many thousands of years ago? The blessing given to Abraham might come to the Gentiles through Christ Jesus, so that by faith we might receive the promise of the Spirit, his Holy Spirit. See, that's what moves us. We were talking about that this morning. The Holy Spirit is what teaches us and encourages us and convicts us and guides us, empowers us, and dwells in us, all that. Without the Holy Spirit, you can read the Word, and you can be pretty good at talking about it. I know there's a lot of people who are excellent preachers of the Word, and you know what? They did it without the Holy Spirit. They weren't even Christians. Do you know a guy named Frederick Bonhoeffer? For a while, it seems like for quite a while, he was not even a follower. He preached, but he wasn't even a Christian. He didn't really receive Christ as his Lord and Savior until a certain point. There's been a lot of people in history that have preached the Word powerfully, because it is the Word when you speak it, but in his heart, it wasn't alive. We need the Spirit, the Holy Spirit. You need to invite him into your life and follow him. Allow him just to work his wonders. And so, because it is the Lord who saves, not you, not me, not anybody else, not some political figure, not some great king or anything like that. It's the Lord who saves, and we need him. So to get unstuck, we need to receive Christ, right? We need the power of the Holy Spirit working within us. We need to be obedient to the Holy Spirit's moving in our lives, submissive, seeking in his word, in prayer, in fellowship, all those basics of getting unstuck, putting the word into action in our daily lives. Not just reading it and go, oh, that's good, and closing it and doing whatever. Having it impact your life. And the Holy Spirit will guide you in that as you're more sensitive to him. Because you know what? It says this, and we praise the Lord for this. And I saw such a tragic figure, and I've always kind of cried for him. Because he started off well. But we see that his life is deteriorating because he's just doing himself now. But with God, it says this, but where sin increased, grace increased all the more. See, God's love, his truth, who he is, he's greater than all our sin. I met a lot of people say, no, I can't receive Christ because I've really been bad. I said, wow, I'm sorry to hear that, because truthfully, Christ is greater than all your sin. All of it, no matter how messy it is, no matter how sticky it gets. The truth is that. And that's the truth we need to seek out in our own lives and trust in. And as Marilyn would say, appropriate it. Take it and live it. Our sins are forgiven. They are hung on the cross with Christ. Now we can move on in the power of the Holy Spirit with praise and thanksgiving. With all the glory going, all that we do for who? For Christ alone, not me. If I start going me, myself, and I, shut me down. Because it's not about me, myself, and I. It is about Christ alone. So, good old Winnie. I love this quote. Because this is me. Time for something sweet. There's nothing sweeter than the Word of God. Live it. May it dwell in you by the power of your Holy Spirit and be a guiding light to you. And may your lives be productive for His glory, for His glory. And may those all around you, your family and your friends and your coworkers and your community, the world around you, know that you are a follower of Christ. Because of the love and the truth just oozing from you, your very pores, the hope, the peace that so many seek are in Christ alone. Let's pray. Father God, again, we give you the glory and the praise and the honor for your love and truth and the joy of knowing you. Oh, Father, you are so good. Thank you for your word. Pray that you just continue to guide us in it. Lord, help us, remind us, Father, about getting unstuck, what it really takes. Because there's going to be times where we're going to get stuck because we get stuck on ourselves. Yes. And you know that. But help us always remember, as sin increases, your grace increases all the more. Your love, you are greater than all our sin, and you've already proven that through Christ, who died for us and broke that curse on the cross for us. So thank you, Father, for your mercy and your grace. May we always call upon you in truth. And may we seek to honor and glorify you in all we do. We praise you in the name of Jesus Christ. And all those people say, amen. Amen.